church. And meanwhile, I hope they've learned a lot as they've kind of, you know, met together three times a week, did some intense, we did some intense prayer, didn't we? Come on, guys, nod for me, please. Yeah, back me up here. We did some really intense prayer for the church, for you guys, for God's kingdom. We visited lots of people. We had speakers. It's been really great. And they've been working on some projects to really give us a little boost. So they're going to announce a whole bunch of things that are going on. I want to encourage you guys that over the next couple weeks, while these guys are with us, God's doing some stuff. And I want to encourage all you guys to be out there, come out for the stuff that we're doing. Okay, so these guys are going to make some announcements. Are you guys going to talk about next Saturday in Snow Elementary? All right, I'll do it right afterwards. No problem. Okay, so I don't know what order you guys are in. Just come up and grab the mic, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Dorothy's going to get her notes, so Wilson's going to talk about it.
Read the lineup. Hi, guys, I'm Wilson. So we've been practicing and working to give you guys a praise night. So it's on August 18th. There's a little bit, little shift in the time. Instead of ending at 10, it's going to end at 9. We're shortening to 2 hours. Took out some songs. But we still would love for all you guys to come. And we've been working hard, so come here and sing and play. So be glad to have you there. And it's going to be this Thursday, August 18th, 7 to 9. Refreshments will be served. Thank you.
All right.
So on Friday, me and Denise introduced a project that we're challenging YD to fast for 30 hours. Yay! And fasting for social injustice. And so while we're fasting, we're going to have a sleepover here at the church next Friday from 1 to Saturday at 7 and p.m. So I may not have said this, but it's not like how long you can fast, whether it's 3 hours or 30 hours, but like your development and your relationship with God. So basically, we want you guys to come and participate. And so the reason why we're fasting is David said in the Bible, like in Psalms, one of them, I humble myself through fasting. So fasting is just a good opportunity for us to, you know, discipline ourselves and just expose our weakness in front of the Creator. So basically, we want you guys to learn how the importance of fasting and how to like depend on God and draw closer to Him. So yeah. It will be a good opportunity for you guys. And we are fasting for, you know, social injustice. So to go on that would be like, so the theme would be like loving your neighbors and who exactly is our neighbor. And so we want to like talk about, our reason for fasting is, okay, so you know the chocolate and coffee you guys buy? So sometimes the chocolate involves child slavery, and coffee involves like where people are exploited. And so we want to like bring awareness to those like neighbors of ours, even though they're like our global neighbor. And you know, we may never meet them, but we are like fasting for not necessarily saying we're trying to change you guys' life, like drastically saying don't eat chocolate and coffee forever. No, we're trying to say like you guys should be aware of your neighbors and how you want to like respect and love and care for them. So basically, we're going to be focusing on fair trade products. And fair trade is like a system that ensures payment of a fair price, as well as sets up fair social environmental standards related to producing a wide variety of goods, blah, blah. So it's basically saying that if something has fair trade stamp, it's ensuring that no one is treated unfairly in the making of it. And so they have to meet certain standards. So we'll be talking about that. So there'll also be a service project on Saturday. So not just fast, but service work at Snow Elementary. Yay! And you guys will be helping cleaning the garden, you know, doing things like that. And but at the same time, you guys will, there will be fun games, like movies, bonding with each other. So I really encourage you guys to go. But what you guys can do as a church. So you guys all, everyone is welcome to join us in fasting for 30 hours. or on your own time. And so you guys don't have to like come here, but you guys can just do it on your own time. You guys can stop by sometime during the event to show support for the youth, like hang out with them while they're playing games or, you know, learn the lesson. Or you guys can stop by Snow Elementary and help us do the service project. Or a great way would be donating water bottles, because we really need to drink water while we're fasting so we don't like faint and stuff. Or making dinner for us, like, because we want to end the fast eating together, and it would be nice if someone could come and cook for us. And most importantly, pray that we'll be safe for us to become closer to God, just have an enriching learning experience, and learn how to care for our neighbors and become better connected with each other. So if any questions, concerns, and suggestions, talk to me.
Hey. Only in Jesus' church do people cheer after they're saying, "We're not going to eat for 30 hours! Yay! We're going to work on gardening! Yay!"
Do you have any more questions?
Okay, and this is... Yeah, and this is just another quick reminder that next week will be the Sunday lunch thing. Yeah, where we like get together and just like be a community. And yeah, I also encourage you at the lunch like that you can come and that you can like socialize with different people and get to know like other English members. And there's a sign up sheet going on if you're still interested in helping out, like be an icebreaker or just volunteer to set up stuff. Yeah, so I'll pass it out.
Just to add on to what Wilson said, everyone is invited to the praise night. So if you have a friend, a coworker, a dog, no, don't bring your dog.
bring your dog.
And go ahead and bring them all together, because we're all, you know, ready to have a good night together. So yeah.
All right.
Okay, I just want to thank Denise and the interns for all the work that they're doing. It's really cool stuff. We're going to do some prayer before we go into the town hall part of this thing. So Dean's going to lead us to pray for the town hall and for the stuff we talk about. So let's get ready to pray, okay? Dean, come on up.
All right, morning, folks. Town hall's going to happen in a few more minutes, and we realize no matter what we do, we really need to be in sync with God's dream for us. And the best way to do that is through prayers. So let's do this. By the way, one more announcement before we do that. There's coffee in the back, just for today. If you feel like you need some caffeine boost, you know where to find it. Right there, where Wilson's. Yeah, and it's free. So let's get into a smaller group. Specifically, pray that all the members, all the congregation will be in tune with the frequency of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means a conviction, deepest conviction to be gospel-centered in our lives. Okay, through our ministry, through our personal lives. So just that one thing, we're going to spend some 3 to 4 minutes to pray. So let's get into smaller groups and just pray for that. All right? Okay, starting now.
Go. Coop.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all those who are here with us today. Father, thank you for gathering the sheep together, Lord. Father, we also pray that even though the worship is a little bit different today, Lord. We still render it as a praise and thanksgiving from the bottom of our hearts. Yes. Lord, guide us and lead us in the town hall today as we surrender our vision, our implementation, our goals to you. And spring us to be the type of community that you desire us to be right here, right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, before you guys move your chairs, actually stay in those groups. This is our town hall, and we want to start off with some group discussion questions for you guys to talk about with the people around you. So if you're in a group of, okay. Here are three questions for you. All right. What is our church all about? Okay. How does that play out in our ministry? And how does our ministry affect your life? Okay, just brief answers, and I think everybody's going to have a different answer. There's no one right answer. So however you guys want to answer this for yourself. But just share a little bit. Dean and I are going to be walking around just overhearing what you guys say. What is our church all about in your mind? How does that play out in our ministry? How does our ministry affect your life? All right, well, you guys chat a little bit, and in about 5 minutes we'll bring you back in. Cool. Would you guys turn back around and rejoin us here? Hopefully you guys had some good conversations. What we want to do today as a town hall is to acknowledge that all the things you guys say are really very true, I think. I didn't get to hear all of it, but I heard some people mention the diversity of our congregation, the diversity of our ages, how we are a small group, but that, you know, we all come from different places and stages of life and how important that is to us. I heard people talk about the place being a home. And all that it means that we are home of Christ and being a family together. I heard people talk about our mission and how we really try to reach out as a church, that we really emphasize the importance of God telling us to reach out. Dean, were there other things you heard that you want to mention?
I could hear some people from all the way over here. And yeah, mostly about people and community, you know, diversity and how cool, you know, the people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably talking about us.
Yeah.
So this is the town hall. It's a little different from what you're used to in this room. I don't know what you guys think of when you think town hall meetings. I think of my favorite TV show, Parks and Rec. Do you guys ever see Parks and Recreation? Yeah, Dorcas. There's this one episode where they're going to make a time capsule. And they're going to bury it in the city of Pawnee. And somebody, there's this guy who really loves Twilight, and he demands that a copy of Twilight be put in the time capsule, even though it has nothing to do with the town. And so so they decide to have a town hall meeting. Everybody brings what they think should be in the time capsule, and he wants to put in Twilight, and there's a Christian woman who says, no, that don't put that in there because it's about vampires. And then another person just says, no, put that in there because the author's a Mormon and the book is too Christian. And she's like, it's too Christian? It's not Christian enough? What do you want? And then what they end up doing in the time capsule is they end up recording the town hall meeting and putting the recording of the town hall meeting in the time capsule because it was in the conversation that they had that really showed what the town was all about. Dean and I have had the privilege of starting to work together in this ministry for the last couple months. It's been really exciting because this guy is as different from me as you can imagine. And it was so funny. Like when we got, before Dean came, I started thinking a little bit about our name. I was like, Home of Christ 6, you know, it's kind of weird. We should start calling ourselves, as the English congregation, Newark Home of Christ English Congregation, because that shows we're new. And then, you know, it's this really long, ridiculous name. And then Dean started, and he was like, I like to call our church Six. just Six. And I'm like, that's the opposite of what I was thinking. I say everything except the Six. And you just want to be Six. And it kind of reflects a lot of things, but it's just been so beautiful because Dean and I get together a lot, talk about our hearts, about our lives, about the church, about our prayers and our hopes. We end up talking for hours. Our wives like text us and call us like, where'd you go? What happened to you? Because it's just been a really sweet conversation of the things that God has put on our hearts and the things that the ways that God has sort of given us an idea about our congregation. So what we want to do today is replicate that conversation a bit for you as a way of sharing our vision for the year. And then to give you guys a chance to engage in various ways, to think about what we're sharing, to ask questions, to poke and prod the ideas that we present, to maybe offer some critiques or some really good challenging questions. We don't have all the answers at all. In fact, I'd say we're just writing the first chapter and you guys have to help us write the rest. Okay, but we need your involvement in it. And so it's going to be a little more interactive today. As such, I have here a piece of paper that's just an outline of what we're talking about today, and also some place for you to write notes. So I'm going to ask if somebody can help me hand these out. Thank you, Kevin. You are chosen. Thank you, Mel. Hey, everybody, say hi to Mel. Mel's all back. Guys. All right. So, okay. For those of you who don't know, Mel is old school Six Home. We have on the bottom of it, of this sheet of paper, three statements for you to complete. One says, I think. The second says, I wonder. And the third says, I'm hopeful about. That's mandatory. Okay? So grab a pen. And sometime during the course of this presentation, we'd like you guys to write what you think as we share all this with you, what you wonder about, and when we say wonder about, those are questions or doubts or critiques or how are you going to fill that in or what does that mean or whatever. So write question or a question or questions. And then the last part, what I'm hopeful about, if there's time, I actually want to have all of you guys say very briefly in a really short sentence, what when we talk about this vision for this coming year, what about it makes you hopeful? Okay, so you will be called upon to say something today, no matter what. And so I encourage you guys as we're talking to kind of be thinking and writing about those things. All right. So Dean and I are going to kind of have a conversation up here, and we're going to at certain times invite you guys into the conversation as well. When you bring up questions, even if we don't address it today, Denise is going to Denise is going to write down the questions. So kind of pay attention to that. And so let's get with it. Okay. We're going to start out by just, you know, the vision statement that we say every week, it kind of becomes meaningless if we don't talk about how it plays out. So our ministry goals for the year all emerge from our vision statement. So we're going to start there. And Dean and I, when we have had our long conversations, a lot of what we've talked about has landed here on this vision statement. So the vision statement is really important. So I want to ask you guys to just kind of zero in on it and ask Dean to talk a little bit about kind of the meaning of it. Okay? So, that's your phone, isn't it?
Presto.
I think Jeff is trying to find where we are. He might have gone to the hotel.
Yeah, I guess okay. I am different.
We'll figure it out. All right. So sorry. No.
All right.
It's all yours. All right. It's all yours.
This is what happens. You got two remote controls. So based on the questions that we asked earlier and a lot of the answers that you guys have, we talk a lot about people at Six, our community, our diversity, you know. But kind of want to ask you guys, if you peel the onion of the diversity of Six, you know, the people and whatnot, what really is it that makes us different? What sets us apart from other local communities? How are we different from YMCA? How are we different from Salvation Army? How are we different from the people that you meet at the local community centers? Right? And I think as going forward, it's going to become very obvious for us the commonality of Six and how we are called apart from the other communities. And that brings us to the first part of our vision statement, the Christ community. What does it mean to be Christ-centered, to be gospel-centered? If I ask you a question, you know, what is it about Christ? What is it about gospel that makes us different? Are we able to articulate? Are we able to defend what we're going to say. And as a result of us belonging to Christ, of being in Christ, then being a Christ community means being holistic disciples. And what does that mean? What's a holistic discipleship? Everybody asks that question. And I believe the answer lies in making all the connections, connecting all the dots in all the spheres in life. Now, I'm going to break this down into three different areas. On the very outside, what we call the common wisdom. And that just means whether you're a believer or not, these are the wise things to do, okay? Live a healthy life, take care of your finance, take care of your kids, take care of your house, you know, do a regular oil change before your engine needs a major overhaul. These are the things that everybody understands, everybody does. But as Christians, as believers, we have another layer, and what I call the religious activities, meaning the stuff that happens on Sunday, stuff happens at church. We tithe, we offer, we sing songs, we go to Sunday school. We're going to have Sunday schools, and we worship. Did I mention that? We worship. But these are all the things that focus on our action, our things. But behind all that, there's the final layer, the core of all the things that we do, the things that drive our decisions, that drive our actions, and that's the layer that I called the gospel centrality. So in the middle of all these, what is our gospel centrality? What defines our identity? What makes us do the things that we do? Now we're going to talk a little bit of, what this means. You know, this may sound all a little vague to us right now. But I think most of you in your head has this question right now. You know, to be a Christ community, are we there yet? What does that look like? You know, so Paul, let me throw this question back to you. How do you describe, how do you identify, how do you tell what a Christ community is?
That's awesome, Dean. Thank you. That kind of brings us to the second part of our statement. We're a Christ community, and as Dean was kind of pointing out to us, means being gospel-centered. Okay, can you all say that? Say gospel.
Gospel-centered.
Good, you're all Dean's best friends now. Very nice. That's his favorite phrase. I love it. But to be gospel-centered as a community means that we live out of that gospel, the truth of what God has done in us, Christ at the center of all that we do. Okay, but that gospel, as it lives out in our community, has to live out in a thoughtful faith. Right? And what we mean by thoughtful faith is that, you know, the gospel is very alien to our human natures. You know, like most of us kind of live by what Dean was talking about, the common wisdom of life. Right? What we learn from our parents, what we learn from culture, what we learn from media. Okay? But to live in a way that follows Christ is so radically different, so weird, that it's almost like speaking and living in a different language. Okay? And as any of you guys who've ever tried to learn a language know, you can't learn a language just from audio tapes. Who listens to audio tapes anymore? Just from MP3s and reading out of a book. You need to learn a language by speaking it with others. Yeah? And the life that God has given to us in the gospel has to be figured out in a community. And that's what we are as the church. Okay, so when we talk about a thoughtful faith, we mean that our faith, it's kind of like what Paul says in 2 Timothy to Timothy. He says, reflect on what I'm saying and the Lord will give you insight into all this. Okay, means that we have to take God's word and the truth that he's given to us and we have to ponder and mull it over in our lives and reflect on it in our lives. So it means that we are a community that wants to be studious about our faith, to be reflective about our faith, to be prayerful about our faith, to be honest and generous. We talk to each other all the time about our struggles as we try to live out this Christian life, about our doubts, about the barriers that we run into in our lives. And that helps us to make our faith in Christ real. Okay, not just something that we assent to on Sundays, but something that we try to really live out every day of the week. Right? But what happens when you have a faith that's real and you learn how to speak in Jesus' language is that that inevitably manifests in your life. Okay, because Jesus is never about just ideas, never just about philosophies, never about your Zen. Right? He's about your life. Okay? And so we believe that is a thoughtful faith in action. That God calls us to believe in Him and to follow Him. And what we follow Him in is the mission that He is on to save the world. Okay? And so our faith inevitably works itself out in action, in righteousness, okay, in peacemaking, in truth-telling, in love. Okay? And we do that all following from Christ. All right? And I think what I love about this statement and about what Dean and I have talked about is that, how's it going, Jeff? Is that all of it emerges from Christ. He's at the center of it. Okay? The stuff that Dorcas was announcing today about fair trade coffee, what does that mean? Why does that matter to us? It matters because of Christ. Right? When we talk about loving our neighbors and serving them by doing something at Snow Elementary, it all emerges from the gospel message. And if we don't know how to make those connections, well, that's what we want to be able to do. Okay? So, how do we do that? How do we do that? Actually, we want to pause right now and just see if you guys have any questions at this point. Okay? I don't know if you guys have filled out the I wonder part yet, but maybe something that we have said so far has already provoked a question. I'm going to ask Denise to just grab some, she has some markers and some paper up here. Do you guys have any questions now about our vision and kind of where we're going with this? This is a town hall, so you are definitely welcome, invited to speak.
I think they need more coffee.
Yes, there's coffee in the back. Thank you, Dean. There'll be time for more questions later on. Definitely they'll come up. Okay. I think one question that's probably in your minds is, okay, this is a cool vision, but how does that play out? What does that actually look like? So, Dean, maybe you can talk a little bit about how we've been imagining this Christ community thing playing out.
Okay. Well, we it's a tough process to make goals of something that's internal, right? We want to be able to gauge where people are going without, you know, being in your face, right? So we feel like these are the, again, after many hours and hours of discussions and prayers, these are the four goals that we want to carry with us going forward. Right, and on top of this is ministry goals 2011 to 2012, because we're going to zero in on what we want to achieve for the next year. But these four central goals, I imagine there's going to be little changes, you know, from year to year. Now, you guys are with me right now? Okay, good. Now, but before we dig into the details, I have to make a disclaimer. That's a huge mountain, okay? And we do a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of things happening at SIX, right? We have so many ministries. We focus different age groups and culture groups. But what's the heart behind that? Like I mentioned earlier, we don't want to do the right things for the wrong reasons. That's not good enough for us. So you think, okay, are we gonna do the right things for the right reasons? No, that's not good enough either. So what do we want to do? We want to do the right things for the sake of the gospel. Okay, just one reason. Just Jesus Christ, just the person of Him that drives us, that gives us meaning and significance of our community. What does that mean? Okay. So what that means is, okay, just throwing out more confusions to you. At a personal level, for each and every one of us, we want to realize that we do charity not because of the sake of doing charity. We do charity for the sake of love, the result of love. Morality is a result of righteousness. The words that we say, the conducts that we carry, is the result of our transformation. The ministry that we perform is the result of our relationship with Jesus. And the way we live our lives now is a result of our salvation. At the corporate level, at the level of six, faith is the result of knowing Jesus. Community is a result of belonging to Jesus. Witness is a result of loving Christ. And finally, justice is a result of living Christ. Are you guys more confused now? More than ever? So all I'm trying to say is very simple. Don't just focus on the tip of the iceberg, but what's underneath, the core of the gospel. That's it. As simple as that. Okay. Now, what is the gospel? We'll dig into more details. Okay. And now back to the ministry goals. What's gospel centrality? How does that play out? Now you all know that we have four major ministry areas: faith, community, witness, and justice. Okay, we feel like all four goals are, there's no one-to-one mapping to the things that we do. Okay, it's one-to-many and it's many-to-one. But primarily, when it comes to gospel centrality, it's done in the realm of faith. And what does that mean? That means by the end of next year, maybe you guys want to write this down, are you able to articulate, internalize, defend, and refine the gospel? Articulate, internalize, defend, and refine what the gospel is. Now, to make it even more clear, if I ask you this question, hey, I don't know what the gospel means. Can you tell me what the gospel is in 5 words or in 5 concepts? A lot of you went through this exercise already. And by the end of the exercise, by the end of giving that person the answers, when the person take over your answer, will he tell right away, hey, I know what's at the center of your gospel. It's Christ. It's nothing else. It's Christ. Okay? And how do we do this? How do we plan to bring the flock, to bring the sheep to that level? We want to do it through our Sunday morning worship. And this is the reason why I personally feel like we all should be early for Sunday morning worship. Not because I'm a legalist. Well, I'm a legalist, but not because of that. Because when we come on Sunday, we're getting ready to worship the living God. We want to come early to prepare ourselves and our households to worship and sing praise to the living God who gave us eternal life. And want to do this through our a newborn teaching ministry. Read through the entire scripture, you see how important sound doctrine is. And we want to do this through small groups, right? Ministry small groups. But that's not all. If you only stay at that level, it's not enough. Once we learn the things that we know, we have to live it, right? That's why all four ministries are involved. And secondly, holistic discipleship. What does it mean? How do we do it? In short, the statement is doing life together as six, as a church. Doing life together. What does that mean? I think it will happen primarily in the context of our community. Doing life together. So here's the question for you. Do you like the person sitting next to you? Or across the room, for that matter? Do you trust them? When something comes up, when you have a problem, would you call each other? Or would you Google first? Okay. Sorry, Matt. Doing life together. Would you keep each other accountable? When you see each other straying away from the gospel, do you feel like, hey, the body of Christ is hurting, and it's my job to keep that body part healthy? Do you feel like you're entitled to speaking up? Doing life together. So, and again, it's not just limited to one area of our ministry goals. It has to saturate into everything that we do to be holistic. Now, Paul, so we talked about gospel centrality, we talked about holistic discipleship. What does it have to do with embodying peace and bearing witness?
Cool. So I'm going to talk about those next two things, but I just want to just kind of reassert what Dean was saying. I like the way he kind of framed this as we've been talking, because I'm always trying to pin us down to some ministry goals that are really specific, like in 1 year we will have 72 members, in 1 year we will have 3 programs. You know, I always want to like generate new programs, and Dean is always like, but why? You know, and he just keeps us focused on the iceberg, you know, and I'm like, I want to do this, I want to do that, and he's like, but what's behind that? And so I really want to reemphasize that we are going to be specific about some things that we're working towards, some programs that we're going to create to address these goals, but we don't want those programs to replace the heart of what we're after, okay? And we know that it's going to take not just a single program, in fact, not just a bunch of programs, it's going to take God's divine intervention to become this stuff. But I think that's important to keep in mind, because the other two things that we're going to talk about is embodying peace and bearing witness. And this is some pretty hard stuff. It's stuff that we've always talked about. It's stuff we've always wanted to be as a church. But I think in many ways that we've been it, I think there's a next step for us in that, okay? And so let me just kind of explain what we're talking about. All right, when you grow in Christ, you grow because you meet Him. Yeah, God makes a change in you. It's your faith in Him. It's the fact that you believe in Him, and that you trust His word, and you take a risk of faith. That's how you grow, right? So we begin with faith, but then we do that. We live out that faith in our community, right? You believe in Him, and so you join church. You're part of a small group. You're with brothers and sisters. You live that out in community, and in your community of faith, you learn how to speak Jesus. You learn how to talk about Him. You learn how to bear witness, so that when other people ask you about God, you know how to talk about God, right? When you're growing up as a kid, you don't really know how to talk about God except to say OMG. You know, like the church is where you learn how to speak faith. Okay, and that's where you learn to bear witness, all right? And as you bear witness, this transformation occurs in your life where Jesus changes you and you live out a life of righteousness and justice, okay? So when we grow as Christians, we grow through faith, community, witness, justice. Okay, that's kind of my thesis here, all right? But let me ask you, how do people come to know Jesus? How do people come to see Christ? And what I want to propose is that a lot of times it happens from the opposite direction. Justice, witness, community, faith. Right? People see us live lives that are different. There's something provocative, something different about the way that we live, because God has called us to a life of righteousness. And when they see that kind of life in us, they go, man, you're really weird. Why are you like that? And you say, well, it's because of Christ. And they go, oh, that's really interesting. Or they say, I'm not interested at all. But if they say, oh, it's really interesting, that's your opportunity. And you say, hey, you should come to my church, because all of the people in my church are weird like me. Okay, you'll love it. And they come into the church community, they hang out with us, and in us they see God at work, God alive. And that's how they see Christ and come to faith in Him. Okay? And so when we talk about these ministry goals, for us in growing in faith, we want to go through that whole thing. We want to believe in Him, we want to live it out in the community, we want to learn how to speak about Him and bear witness, and then we want to kind of embody all that in justice. Okay? But for the world outside, for the world that's waiting to hear His gospel, for the people you see at work every morning, for the kids you sit next to in class every Monday, okay? For the people you Facebook who don't know Him yet, for the people who live here on Lido Court, or on Dumbarton, or on Jarvis, okay? What we want to do is we want to live out the new life justice that God has put in us, okay? That's justice. Then we want to bear witness when people say, why are you doing that? Why are you coming to our elementary school, teenagers who should be out running around and goofing? Why are you coming to our elementary school to help us out? And that's when we say, because of Jesus. And people say, wow, that sounds really cool. I've never really seen a church really do that. We say, you should come to ours. Come check out our community. And here in our community, they'll see Christ among us, right? And that's when they can believe in them themselves. Okay, justice, witness, community, faith. All right? And that's kind of what embodying peace and bearing witness is about. Okay? We want to do something that I'm calling points of peace. Okay? Points of peace are kind of access points for people in our lives and people in our neighborhoods and networks. Access points by which they'll meet us, they'll get to know us, and they'll see, hopefully, that we are different. And we're different not just because we're perfect or because we're putting on fronts or just because of our religious activity. We're different because of all the stuff that we've been talking about, because the gospel is central in our lives, because Jesus is changing us, because he's making us different. Right? And in the authenticity of our vulnerability and us saying we suck at this, but we're just trying, right? We want to confess Christ to them. We want to tell them it's because of Jesus. Example. Elaine had a coworker way back when she was teaching in San Jose. That coworker taught right next door to her, and she watched the way Elaine taught, and she was a great teacher too, but Elaine was like a common heart, because Elaine taught with passion and with love. She really cared about her students. She was faithful. She was consistent, and that teacher would come over and hang out in her room, and they would talk about teaching, and Elaine would admit to, like, oh, I'm having a hard day, and I hate these kids today. No, she'd never say that, but, you know, she was honest, right? But that coworker was like, wow, I like your heart. You're person to talk to. I want to hang out with you. And Elaine would somehow articulate in the course of her life with her, I think I'm like this because I learned of Jesus, right? This is how he is with us. And she was like, yeah, I used to go to church. That sounds pretty cool to me. I have some problems with Christianity, but I like what you're saying. And if that's the kind of faith you have, I want to see other people who live like that. So Elaine invited her to our small group. Remember that, Mel, way back? And we had a small group, and she drove all the way from San Jose, all the way up to Newark to join our small group. Okay, she joined our community. And through our community, she returned to the faith that she had before. This is Eve, for those of you guys who know. Right? In the same way, I hope that we can do that corporately together, to be kind of an aroma of Christ around us. One idea I have is I'm a teacher. I love teaching writing. I want to do a writing class for kids in this neighborhood who are high school students. And they want to take it because they want to get good SAT scores and good grades and all that kind of stuff. But I want to teach them that writing is about those things, but it's about so much more. Yeah? And when they see the so much more, and some of you guys are going to be in that class, right? I'm starting to recruit you. Kevin can't, he's got some, but maybe you can come. And you're going to be in that class, and you're going to be a different kind of student. And they're all going to hang out with you and say, how come you are different? And then we're going to work with you, and you're going to learn to say, I'm different because of Christ. Right? And they're going to say, wow, you guys are pretty cool. Okay? Why do you guys know each other so well? Oh, because we have this thing called Young Disciples where we talk, we play games, we hang out. And through that, hopefully, that those teenagers will see Christ in us and they'll be able to come to faith. Okay? So the way we encapsulate that is we call that embodying... Oh, where am I going? I'm not good at this Prezi thing. I'm learning. Dean's teaching me. We call that embodying peace. Wherever you are, wherever you live, and we try to do this together as a community, we embody the peace of Christ to people. Okay? And those ways that we embody it, whether it's doing community service, whether it's teaching them, whether it's a basketball game or Saturday, whatever it is that we develop as our points of peace, those are the ways by which we embody Christ to the world and they come to see him. Okay? Now, of course, when they come to see him, they're going to want to know, what is this all about? So we have to learn to speak faith. We have to learn to tell people about Jesus. And that's something we're going to work on in our ministries too. Like Dean said, can you, if somebody comes to you and says, man, I'm struggling with my homework, or I'm struggling with depression, or I'm struggling with my mortgage, does that have anything to do with Christ? Do you know how to tell them that? I don't either. Okay, that's what we're going to try to figure out together. Okay, and that's what we mean by bearing witness, learning how to speak Christ. Now, it doesn't mean being obnoxious. Oh man, I'm really having a hard time with my finances. You need Jesus. Come to my church. That's not that great an approach, right? And so what we want to do is not just, pardon my French, pimp out church. What we want to do is we want to learn to really care for people, to really pray for them, to really bear their burdens to God, and to have God work in their lives. Another thing that we're going to work on is we had a beta project called Mustard Seed. Okay, it's kind of died off, but Melissa and Patricia and Elaine and I were in a mustard seed group together. Doug was with us. What we did every week is we met on Skype for half an hour, so you could do it in your underwear, which I really like. And we prayed. So that was really weird. We did audio Skype. So we prayed for unchurched people in our lives. And it was, all of us could just tell you the stories of the way God answered those prayers in amazing ways. That's something we hope all of you guys will learn to do. It's just very, in very simple ways, pray together for people that God brings to your life who come to you and say, I don't know why, you're different, but I just feel like I can talk to you. Here's what's going on in my life. Okay, and our prayer and hope is that this cool thing that we have here of the gospel being right in the center of who we are emanates out through all of us into the people that we know and the people in this neighborhood, and that God will make his church grow and have more people come to know him. Okay, so that's kind of the embodying faith, what am I saying? Embodying peace, bearing witness part of our ministry goals. All right, are y'all with us? Let me stop at this point and see if you guys have any questions. I'm looking for any signs of hand raising. You're like, oh. No. Any thoughts or questions? Are you raising your hand or fanning yourself? Got it. Nothing else? Cool. Okay, that's all right. What we want to do now is, sorry, Dean, I blew our transition. Questions?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah. So I talked a lot about faith and community, and Paul talked a lot about witness and justice. So let's test each other, see if we get each other, okay? So say, Paul, if you're going to summarize, you know, what I just talked about, faith and community, how would you put it in your own words?
All right. One way maybe I'll think about it is like, if I'm one of us and I'm sitting here in these seats and going, okay, if I'm part of this church this year, what's going to happen to me? What are you going to do to me? No. What's going to be the outcome? Okay, let's say I'm one of the 15 Kevins in our church. And over the course of this next year, if Dean, what you're telling me is what we actually do, I'm going to really rethink my life, how Jesus is Lord in my life, how the gospel is central in my life, how all the stuff that I live and do really needs to come out of the gospel. It needs to make sense because of Christ in my life. And you mentioned something about reading the whole scriptures and seeing how the whole scripture teaches us. So I think, because we've talked about it, I think I'm challenged over the course of the next year to read the whole scriptures and to see Christ, see the gospel in the scriptures. And then you talked a lot about holistic discipleship and how that happens in our community. And I think I'm going to end up with young disciples or with a small group or some kind of community relationship, learning to work out how Christ being central plays out in every area of my life. Does that sound pretty?
I mean, you got it. Beautiful.
Okay. I was a gold star. How about the whole witness justice thing? Do that plan out.
Okay, so now that I got faith figured out, I got community figured out, I know I'm a new creation, and I belong to a wonderful community that's called Six.
Newer Home of Christ.
New Home. I can help but to tell other people how great it is to live a life for Christ. And when I see something injustice, when I see injustice happen on the street, man, that's incompatible with me. Mm. That's incompatible with my community. I gotta change that. I gotta do something about it. Mm. You know, there's no stopping me. Because I got the Spirit, I got Christ, I got the Father. Mm. Did I summarize
that's
that?
Pretty darn good.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Pretty good. Does that help you guys to have a sense of where we're going? Or do you have questions?
No.
Great. If not, we have some questions for you.
Yeah. Do you want me to start? Okay.
Bust it, Dean.
All right. I want to always get a tough job. So
I don't know.
Just kidding. We can do, let me define we, the leaders, the servants, the shepherds of the church can do everything that needs to be done. Paul and I have the deepest conviction that we're in a serious business of making holistic disciples that understands faith, community, witness, and justice. We can put on the best show up here, and nothing will happen. There will be zero transformation. Because this, if there's a disconnect between us and the rest of six, nothing will happen. And what I'm trying to say is, everything that we just talked about, all the goals that we want to achieve, that requires a serious level of commitment coming from everybody who's on board. Now we realize we're all at different stages of life. So if you feel like very strongly this may not be for you right now, we understand. But we really believe that this is where to take us. So if you're with us, we want you to understand, you know, the level of commitment that we're asking, that we believe what it takes. It's what it takes to be a holistic disciple. Okay.
Do you want to try? And I think it's also, I think, an exciting thing, because I think what we're saying is we really believe that God is bringing us somewhere, and I think this is an opportunity for you guys to really participate in something, and to find that as you participate, God bears fruit. You know, making the gospel at the center of us, investing in this community as your family, as your community, learning to speak Jesus to others, and living a life that provokes those questions. It's going to be a really cool thing, and I think you guys, we're going to look back at the year, at this time next year, and praise God for amazing things. This tree is going to be vast, and there's going to be all kinds of fruit on it. And all that fruit is just going to be tip of the iceberg to represent and symbolize the things that God is doing. And our prayer and our hope is that we, a year from now, be a lot more mature, more passionate, more committed, that we would have deep, deep love for one another, and that this room is too small. This room is too small for all the people that God has brought to our doors. Okay. In fact, that's kind of one of the implicit goals of ours too, is that God would help us to grow so big that we can't fit in this room anymore, and we're going to have to do a takeover of the other room. We'll just kick out the Manor congregation. We're just kidding. But that's among our prayers too.
Yeah. Just to echo what Paul said, alright, did I put a little bit of fear in your hearts already? Not yet. Okay, here's more. It's gonna demand your time. For the parents, it's gonna take your time away from each other and from the kids. It's gonna take your take some effort. You will have to make some initiative. Okay? We can't just keep spoon feeding, you know, keep telling you what we've been telling you. Each and every one of us have to take initiative to participate, to own a piece of this. But I guarantee you this, if I understand the scripture correctly, from Genesis to Revelation, you will be amazed at the reward that God has for us for following Him. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. We want to give you guys a chance to kind of think on this a little bit, kind of ponder what we've shared, and then see if you guys have any further questions. We have a Q&A session, kind of, and get you guys' thoughts and questions. So let me give you guys just let's say 4 or 5 minutes with your paper. If you haven't filled out, I'm hopeful about, do that now. If you already have, you can add to it. Then we're going to kind of open up the floor, see if you guys have any questions, and then we'll pray. All right? Yeah. No. Is there any more copies of that paper laying? Oh, I didn't make enough. Sorry. It's okay.
Anyone have a blank one so we can make more fuller copies?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorcas.
scare them.
We'll do like, yeah.